With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yo, what's up? You're listening to the Alternative Facts Podcast, Billboard's podcast for rock, alternative, punk, emo, metal, indie, experimental music, all sorts of things you could consider alt. My name's Chris Payne. I'm a staff writer at Billboard. I'm your host. So we're back. That's how I should preface this episode. We are back. It's been a few weeks since we last posted a new one. I apologize. Been a really busy week, few weeks at the office with year-end stuff, holidays. I was sick on and off, but we're here again, here to close out the year with this episode and one more to close out the calendar year 2017. And I'm in the process of getting lots of exciting interviews together for next year, too. But this week's, let's not get ahead of ourselves, this week's we are back with Weaves. They are a punk band from Toronto. They put out a great album this October called Wide Open, and this is what they sound like. You're about to hear me chat with Jasmine, she's the singer, and Morgan, he plays guitar. They came by the Billboard office when they played Rough Trade in Brooklyn a few weeks back, and I had a great time talking to them. There's a lot in here about touring life, keeping sane, staying inspired, and engaging in activism while on the road. There's actually lots of guitar talk in here for all you guitar players. Morgan has a really unique way of playing, and we dove into that. His technique is really, really interesting. I don't think I've ever really heard a guitar player who's quite like him. We talked about also Toronto, where they're from. This was a really great talk with an excellent band, good people, and I think they deserve a lot more attention. So here it is. This is my talk with Weaves. Yo, guys, thank you so much for coming by. Second day in a row in the Billboard office.
We can't get enough. Yesterday, we were trying to park somewhere around here with our, like,
impossible
Ontario minivan.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we felt stupid. And then we went into this one parkade, and they were going to charge us $60.
$60.
Yeah, I hope you didn't do that.
We didn't.
No.
Okay, good.
We did a $40 flat rate, which seemed like whatever.
Yeah. It's just strange because you keep your keys in the van.
With your gear.
With the gear. I don't know. We don't have parking lots like that.
Like valet
in
style.
Canada.
Yeah.
Where you just sort of leave the door open. And
They tell you, they're like, you got to lock your keys in your van in order to park at our parking
deck. You leave it unlocked with the key.
In it.
You're like, that doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound safe.
Yeah, we thought we would come back and they would have all our gear set up and they'd be like
playing
jamming.
Show tunes.
Yeah, jamming show tunes.
Welcome to New York.
And you guys are playing Rough Trade tonight. I'm excited for the show.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
You did a little something there last time on tour, right?
Yeah, we played.
It's like a dinner, dinner time show.
Daytime, yeah, dinner show, yeah.
Dinner theater.
Showboat.
Yeah.
Well, you got the headline spot this time.
Yeah.
Hell
very
yeah.
Exciting, very exciting.
Yeah, new album.
Mm-hmm. Wide open.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Tell me, because you guys are mid-tour right now, so just give me the lowdown on how tour is going.
Well, I guess we're like a week in.
Yeah.
And week in, how long are we gone? Another month after this or something?
Another month or so.
It's going well. I think everyone kind of knows each other now, so we're kind of like not surprised by each other's quirks and just
everyone. It's pretty smooth. You just sort of know.
You just give a look to another person. It's like, okay, this person's having a weird moment here. Just give a knowing glance to someone else rather than engaging in that.
Yeah, it's more smooth.
Yeah. Stay away from the bee's nests.
Yes.
This is the same, besides the band lineup, the same touring lineup, management, the whole touring party for Weeds, same as last time?
Mm-hmm. Same entourage.
Nice. Yeah, same entourage.
You got some nice continuity.
Yes. Yeah. Same van. Same emotional problems.
Different running shoes.
Yeah. Same emotional problems, different running shoes.
Yeah.
So you guys are in that second phase of bands. I'm finally getting to go out there, tour, play when you have two albums to work from. Mm-hmm. You finally have old songs in your set, songs that you can really call like, this is an old one.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. We do. And now we're
classics. Classics.
From 2016 classics.
Well, we also have from the EP too.
Oh yeah, EP 2015.
Something. I know, it's all about like trying to figure out how to make the new flow happen with the new songs.
And, yeah.
Oh, do we go to an old one here? You know, a lot of subtle intricacies of set list.
Yeah, you get so comfy in your, I don't know, first album, and then you have to sort of like say goodbye to some.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a, you know.
I like what Pixies, apparently they would do, because they think song order doesn't matter at all, that they would do like alphabetical set lists sometimes.
Huh.
But maybe they just said they did that. But I like that. It's just like order doesn't matter. But it does.
But order does matter.
I know.
Because you can't just, you have to take people on an emotional
journey,
you know.
Or if your songs are all in different tunings.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Alphabetical could be kind of difficult.
Yeah.
We got some new tunings on this record.
Yeah,
yeah.
Proud.
Yeah, it's an interesting. We're going to get into it and talk about how it came together. But I still want to touch on the live show a little bit, because I was able to catch you guys on tour at Baby's All Right in New York behind the last album.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was just really, really into how like fun and improvisational you guys are.
Mm.
Like Jasmine, like you get out there, you get into the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to have fun.
You like to make connection with.
Yeah, I think it's important. And it feels more like a family or something when you're... I don't like having that like divide of audience. And I think when I was younger, like the shows I liked the most were ones where the band was looking at the people in the front and were trying to like make a connection rather than just like being cool. And, you know, I like having that type of... It's also uncomfortable a little bit, which is kind of fun. Like people don't...
When you look...
Yeah,
people don't always love... direct eye contact. So I think it's kind of a fun thing to like mess with people. And then they almost like, then they feel more open. They relax a little bit, because it's like, oh, she's just like having fun and we're here together. So I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah. It keeps the audience from being, you know, mind wandering passive. It makes them be engaged in it. But once you break that down, they're on the same team as you guys.
Yeah.
It's sort of just like an icebreaker at a really awkward dinner party.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And it's to get people out of like, I guess people are so like passively looking at their, you know, phones all the time that it's like, oh, this is a live music situation. So we can like be alive together and improvise. And I guess the nice thing about a live band is you're not on a click. It's not like electronic or hip hop show. It's like we're all playing these instruments right now, so we might as well really make use of like the best part about live music, which is, I don't know, I like improvisation and you know, to do the Led Zeppelin thing and kind of go out on a limb with an audience, it's kind of exciting. And then if we nail like going out and we come back in at the same time, then the audience and us all feel like, oh my God, we made it back. Yay, we're safe again. Like,
yeah.
It's nice to have that tension of, oh, are they going to, Are they going to ruin everything, or are they going to come back together?
Yeah.
Going back to your earliest shows, have you always been so participatory with the audiences?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. I don't know. I think when I first started playing music, I always just liked going into the audience and like being, I don't know, something just a new person, you know, it's a different.
Does it make it easier too? Because it's like the onus becomes less on just you. It's like, okay, let's all like get into this or something.
I don't know, because everybody's still staring at you. So it's right. still like a right. bit of a like, but I like, you know, we did this show in Canada a couple days ago. And there was like a mosh pit that was starting, but then I kind of went down there and was like, let's all hug instead.
Because it was getting a little male pushy.
Sure. And so we all just started hugging and we had this big group hug. And I was like, wouldn't that be nice if like, rather than pushing each other to show we like music, we like hug each other and make eye contact and like, I don't know, just do something else besides like aggressive behavior, you know? Anyways.
Yeah, the vibe reminded me of a Downtown Boys show. I think they're another band who's very good with kind of having fun crowds, but making them much more like happy, all-inclusive sort of pits instead of very aggressive, angry pits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why are pits? It sounds so armpity. But mosh pits are so male-driven, and it's like, oh, whoever's biggest has the most fun. It's like terrible.
Like Riot Girls were like, or like Kathleen Hanna was like, all the women come to the front because like she didn't want that like negative space of like grunge music was so much about like macho guys and like punk. Mm-hmm. Like crowd surfing and moshing is like very much for kind of like
guys
to hurt each other in a way.
And blow off some steam. It's so weird. I guess certain music lends itself to kind of more aggressive body movements, but it's weird just the pushing people, and then there's people just trying to watch, and they just get crushed. It's like, that's not really fun.
No, exactly.
It's weird.
Yeah, so I'm sure like when you have the mic in your hands and you're sort of directing things and you see that going on, you're like, all right,
try and like, I don't know. You can't control it, but you can maybe facilitate like happier behavior.
Sure.
You know, if you're smiling on stage and you're having fun, maybe that like instigates a more positive experience, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. We played with Downtown Boys on our way back from South by
Dallas.
In Dallas. But that was fun because there was all those like fun girls in the front that were just having a real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it's fun to be interactive and like, I don't know. I when I see music, I want like a real show. I want to see them like be put on a rock and roll show. So that's what we try and do.
And probably because I asked about when you guys were starting off, figuring playing some like much smaller venues, places where there wasn't even really a stage elevating you above everyone else. Yeah, yeah. When you're just sort of staring at the people on the common ground, same level as you who are right in front of you, it's a lot more natural
to just go get in there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing that kind of sucks sometimes with barriers and security is you can't get down there. And like, I'm not really good at jumping. You know, some people just jump off, they jump down, and then they jump back on. I wish I was like more agile. But I'm wearing platforms, so I can't do too much. But yeah.
Do you have any fun stories that stick out involving just audience participation?
I liked the group hug the other day. That was nice. And have we had any fun...
Well, you know, you invite people on stage to dance, and then they
In Iceland,
jump
that
all
was
over
fun.
Our pedals.
Yeah, in Iceland, we had remember that everybody came on stage during motorcycle, and yeah, that was the only thing though. Gear, they sometimes kinda, you forget about.
They step on all
the
gear. And
my
I was
gear,
like,
my
watch
gear.
The pedals. But like everybody came on stage, and it was like a really special crowd, I think, but. I don't know. It's always like a fun...
Stuff happens. Yeah.
It's pretty regular for us to have a bit of a like wild end, I guess.
Yeah. Unless like we're all depressed and the audience is depressed.
Yeah.
Then sometimes we can't overcome that.
Sometimes we can't overcome the stillness of the crowd.
And the stillness of ourselves.
Yeah. You can only do so much before, you know.
Because then you just look like a dad who's trying to like... turn a bad family trip around or something.
Come on, everyone. Sure. Have fun with us.
sometimes people just want to stand there, and that's cool too.
Yeah, that's fun too.
Yeah, I mean, there have to be like little lulls for people to catch their breath in between.
Yeah.
And there's some listening to be done. It's not all jumping around. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yo, a second ago you mentioned Iceland. Tell me about that. What was that crowd like? What was the experience like of just going to Iceland with the band?
It was amazing. We got invited to play 2 years ago, I guess. Yeah, did we have an album out? I don't know. And it was just very magical.
Who did we see? We saw Ariel Pink.
We saw Ariel Pink, Father John Misty, Tanya Tagaq. We saw...
That's where we met Tanya.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about that. But after you're done, you can tell that story. Yeah. But yeah, keep telling me about Iceland. Was this a festival?
Yeah, Iceland Airwaves.
Airwaves. Okay, was this 2015?
Maybe.
Because I was in Iceland, not specifically for the festival, but I happened to be in Iceland during Airwaves, I think 2015.
Yeah, maybe it was.
It might have been 2015 or 2016. Maybe 15. Yeah. And we, it's kind of cool because with that festival, you can only play it once. It's very mysterious.
Unless you're Bjork.
But so we got invited to play, and I don't know, we rented a vehicle as well. We did our own little
We did a little day trip. We looked at some waterfalls, at some. Geysers.
Yeah, I saw geysers.
Didn't realize geyser is an Icelandic word.
I know. Yeah. And also, there's a mall in Toronto, and I didn't realize that the fountain was based off of the geyser.
Oh, really?
The Eaton Center.
Oh, wow.
That's a geyser, basically. Huh. I don't know. It's
magical.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. They believe in fairies, of course. Yeah. There's fairies everywhere.
And they light candles everywhere. Maybe because it's kind of dark and gray that, like... Even if you go for coffee in the morning, there's candles lit.
Yeah,
it just makes everything seem like, I don't know, like Sade should be playing or something.
It's all very like untouched, and you're just like, wow, it's earth. You know, you feel like you're on the earth when you're there.
We definitely like blasted Bjork.
Yeah, on our drive.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. So good.
It's like, well, I'm only getting 5 hours of sunlight today, but still, I feel full of energy. I feel full of life.
Yeah.
Iceland.
Hey, I could talk about Iceland forever. And, you know, big picture, though, with touring behind the first album and getting out there and probably being able to see a lot of the world that you hadn't seen before, like, how did that shape your mindset? Did it shape the mindset as much as you think, like, really influencing how the new album came out?
I think so. I think traveling just changes you, and you kind of, I don't know, you consume so much and you're unaware of that until you come home, and then it's like you open a fresh can of pop or something and then all the fizz comes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, you subconsciously are taking in all this information.
Yeah.
We were pretty fired up after coming back.
Yeah.
And...
I don't know. When you come home, you're in this like weird emotional state. If like you don't feel like you're part of your little home society anymore, it's like life continues on without you, and people do things, and like almost they're used to you not being around. So you like don't. I found like people don't really call. They're just like, oh, I thought you were on tour. And then when you're on the road, you kind of like miss home. So then when you're back home, you're in this weird headspace of like. Where do I belong? What do I do? And so it's like kind of good for writing or something because you're a little bit like spacey in a way. And you sort of, I don't know, that's all of that emotion just like, I don't know, it just affects the songwriting and just meeting people and like seeing a geyser, you know, like in a way seeing pure beauty, you're like, wow, that's another piece in my brain that's like somehow going to affect a song a year from now, and you don't realize that, but it like you're, I don't know.
It's almost like touring is like living the internet. Like,
yeah,
just in the fact, like the internet, if you're like scrolling through, you're just like going from topic to topic and seeing all this different stuff. And in a way, touring is like, it's all like short term. Oh, we're in this country. We're doing this thing. We're meeting this person that you're kind of getting that same, you know, a bunch of content into your brain, but it's life experience.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. So then when you come back, it's like, all right, let's be creative and make something because you're all fired up.
And like your bandmates are the only ones that really know what just happened. So you're like, you all come back and you can work together because like, you know what you went through. or so, I don't know. Yeah. There's some sort of relatability in that. Because you grow all together and then, like, you also, I don't know, fall apart together when you come home.
Yeah.
Let's make an album.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, so as you were mentioning, a specific part of these travels and how it influenced the album, tell me about meeting Tanya and how that came mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, we met her. We were literally on the plane to Iceland, and I was waiting in line to use the washroom, and so was she. And she just, like, is this very magical human who was like, hello, what's your name? And I was like, I'm Jasmine. And from then on, we just, like, so her band, we sort of knew as well. And we were all staying at the same hotel. And so was Father John Misty. Remember that? We saw him.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, we just all hung out that weekend and, like, kind of drank together and, like, had a real time. And then we always wanted to work together. And when this song, Scream, happened, it just seemed like she would be the perfect human to put on it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was all pretty natural. And we've kept in touch, like, her and I. She moved to Toronto, so it's like we hang out. And so it was cool to have her sing on the album. And she's very amazing.
Yeah, she's a killer musician.
Yeah.
And that was, she just came in and did two takes and...
I mean, she was on Bjork's album, you know, Full Circle, but yeah, she's got a crazy, crazy voice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And just so improvisational and mm-hmm. reactionary to the music
exactly.
and to the room and to the, you know, her own emotions that she's able to just...
She takes on the emotional, like...
But it just turns on and then off, like, she'll be so chill and be like, okay...
Yeah, like eating a salad, like relaxed, and then like, all right, let's go record.
And then it's suddenly you're in like this, the craziest, you know, depths of emotion. And just
raw.
You know, a mix of scary and sweet and all the emotions at once. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll drop in a little bit of Scream in a second so the listeners know what we're talking about here. But yeah, from listening to her vocals, I can imagine what an experience it would be like watching her go through that in a live setting. Were you just sitting there watching her in the studio deliver those vocals?
Yeah, we were sitting in the booth upstairs, but it was amazing to even just hear her through the speakers because, you know, I don't know, we listen to our own music a lot through them, but when you hear her throat singing, it honestly, like, hits you, it comes through the speakers, and, like, I don't know, I've never experienced that.
It was so much more powerful.
So much more powerful than any instrument.
Sure.
You, like, her voice is so powerful and dominant, and then, I don't know, just hearing it live, it was like, wow, this is so powerful.
And then she did two takes, and we used them both and just panned them left and right. And so she's performing with herself.
Yeah.
So she's improvising to the track, and then the next take, she's improvising to herself and the track, and then it's done.
And she's pretty relaxed. She's like, whatever you want to use, just edit it. But then we heard it. We're like, we don't really want to edit
she's
this.
She's like, take some out, or just use the good parts.
Yeah, use the good parts, whatever you want. And then we were like, we need to use all of this kind of, you know, like, you don't want to mask that and have it low in the mix.
Yeah. And then Dave Neufeld, he mixed that track, and he is an extreme kind of person himself. So that's why he's a good person to mix it, because he's not just like mildly mixing. He'll put the good things really loud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he mixed her nice and loud, and Tanya said to us, like, thank you for not mixing me quietly.
Yeah. Like, she's like, usually people kind of like put her
don't know
low
what
in
to
the,
do.
Sure.
Or just kind of along with the drums. And it was like, no, let's make this. It's, she's just as important as the lyrical content, you know, like she's bringing it to life in a different way. So,
yeah.
And Jasmine, with your vocals in that song, with your part, like, get on the table and scream your name, sounds like such an anthemic part. Like, take me through the meaning of that.
Well, I think, you know, it is what it is. Like, I just feel like what's happening in the world right now, I just want, I don't know, women in particular to feel like they need to scream their name and be confident with who they are. And, yeah, I just was feeling, I think, like, kind of emotional when I wrote it, and it was kind of after the election, and I don't know, it was just a reactionary song of like, what is going on? And at the same time, like, well, we have a platform and we're performing in front of people, so use it in a way that is positive and as honest as I can be about like my own thoughts of, you know, myself being a person in this world and our experience as musicians. And I don't know, just sort of like organically came out, like, scream your name. Yeah.
Sure, and that ties in with what we were talking earlier about, just organically making the shows better places for women.
For sure. I think that's important. And just making, yeah, say a nice space for everybody to come see music.
Totally.
Not even to have women and men feel like, oh, we can all listen to this music and it doesn't have to be like a genre-specific sort of thing. It's like, I don't know, it's important. And it's just important to also just show more women playing in bands and like being more visible within the mainstream, because a lot of it is dominated by men, so.
Especially in rock bands.
Especially in rock bands, yeah. So, you know, I hope that our band is able to like bring some light to that and show young people like you can perform, you can shred on guitar if you want. Like, just because you don't maybe see yourself like in the mainstream doesn't mean you can't do it. And like, so it's all about, I think, just like the, you know, evolution of music and like pushing young, like younger people to make whatever they want to make and be whoever they want to be, you know?
Sure. And I think in this cast, you've given a lot of good advice for maybe someone listening who's just starting a band who wants to be like that sort of artist, that sort of band.
Yeah. I think it's cool. Like, even if you see like St. Vincent, she's shredding on guitar, and it's important that young females see somebody that's like creative and is the boss and making her own music, and she's a female and she's queer and she's badass, and like, that's cool. And that's, I don't know, she's making some of the most interesting stuff these days, you know? So
yeah, new album just came out.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, that's how I feel about that stuff.
Yeah. Let's talk about the guitars on your album, because it's really interesting how they've come along since the first one. A little bit more like focused on being like tight pop rock songs. Tell me about writing the guitar parts on this album.
I guess with this record, it was this song. I felt like the songs were so strong that I didn't want to pull too much attention at all times away from the lyrics and the melodies. I kind of wanted to be supportive and then save the freakouts for the right emotional moment. So I guess, you know, this album, it's more a song based, the songs first kind of thing. And so I got to do like, be a little more Neil Young-y sometimes and like do some classic rock tropes in there too, which is kind of a fun thing to do because it's such a, you know, it sort of is a classic rock road record a little bit, but filtered through a female point of view is kind of an interesting thing because that's such a male cliche of like, come on boys, get in the van. So it was, you know, in a way like doing like, you know, classic rock guitar cliches is kind of like a a tongue-in-cheek thing, mm-hmm. too. It's like, wow, I'm going full dad rock here. I love it. It's just, you know, it's like, oh, here's the section where I get to play open chords and I can mm-hmm. do like windmill guitar
yeah.
moves and stuff. So it was not, it was important to me to do that stuff and also to like embrace simplicity and be like, oh, it's fun to just do this A, G, and D chord. This is like full teen boy in his room, like playing an acoustic guitar kind of thing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. More campfire songs this time.
Yeah.
But then, and then some freakouts.
Yeah. I mean, because we kind of talked about this when we were making the album, but having something like Walk Away that's a super polished song.
Such a good song.
Thank you. And then you can have something like Scream. Like, you can have these extreme songs, and maybe the more polished you are in one allows you to be, you know, have these pockets of, like...
Yeah. It's all about contrast.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was important to be like, if you're just all weird all the time, then nothing's weird kind of thing. Yeah. So, you know, you want to freak people out by being normal sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then let her story, you know, carry the focus. So it's nice. I like bands that kind of play it like Ween will play it straight, and they'll have beautiful songs that have no jokes in them, and then they'll have ridiculous joke songs, and they'll have stuff that sounds pretty and then stuff that sounds like complete garbage. That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, that's what you want. I like when guitar players, sometimes you're like, are they the worst or are they the best? You know, Jimmy Page was kind of like that sometimes. He would wank and kind of suck, and then he would rule, and you're like, yes. It makes both sides better. I don't know, just, it's kind of life. Sometimes you suck and sometimes you rule. Put it all in the music. If it's all good, then you just sound like a perfect shredder.
Cheese shredding.
Yeah, you sound like a cheese shredder.
Cheese shredder. The standalone ones, not the ones that you put... You know, the one that you just you put over, like, when you're at a restaurant, they're like,
shredding cheese.
Would you like some cheese?
Yeah, that's more of a Parmesan.
Yeah, the Olive Garden
shredder. Yeah. Oh, I love Olive Garden bread. It's so good. We used to have Olive Garden in Canada, and then they got rid of it for some reason. And but that was my, like, you know when you do well in your report card or whatever? Initially, it was the Olive Garden. Like, we would go there for dinner. But now it's, well, not now, but then it turned into the Swiss Chalet, which is like our version of...
Garbage.
Olive Garden's better.
Yeah.
Let's drop in. It's my favorite on the album. You guys mentioned it, and you played a little bit of In the Office for us yesterday. Let's drop in for listeners a little bit of Walk Away. Yeah, Morgan, from talking to you, I'm definitely picking up on a lot of taking these guitar legends of the 60s and 70s, like your Jimmy Pages and Neil Youngs, and kind of disjointing them and repurposing them, translating them. That made me think of, you did a cover of Help by the Beatles. Tell me about how that came together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was just, we did that at my apartment in GarageBand, and that was like, Jasmine's like, I feel like this song right now. I'm like, all right, let's record it. And that was a couple years back. And you know, that was just like one of many things that we had just kind of recorded
kind of
for
just
fun.
Recorded it for fun.
And then we eventually released it. I don't know. It's funny to cover the Beatles in a way, too, because they're so, I don't know. It's like the Bible or something.
The Bible.
It's like
untouchable.
We're covering the Bible.
Yeah,
covering the Bible.
Covering
I'd like
the
to,
Bible.
I'd like to hear that. So then it's like, oh, what would be our take on that?
Yeah. It's interesting because we did a cover of Drag Me Down by One Direction as well.
Yeah.
Which, funnily enough, like, yeah, that's the one a lot of people like. Well, actually, both of them, I don't know. People like to hear you try different songs, and I feel like it's kind of it's a fun game to see if you can make it sound like your own song in a way. Like, how do you contort the lyrics or, like, the melody in a way and, like, and add some drum mm-hmm. part that makes it sound like Weaves. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it was like kind of just for fun. So we weren't.
Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate your being around.
I think we touched on a lot of cool stuff. That was just about everything I had on my end. Is there anything else you guys wanted to hit on?
What do you want to get off your chest?
I mean, the album was really fun to make. We, you know, Gasoline also was like a kind of improvised song. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And
people should listen to it.
Wide Open, the song. One that.
It's a good one.
I think is, yeah.
Good really lyrics. Like
that one's pretty proud of that one.
And when is David Lynch going to call us to play that song in the
next?
Is there going to be another Twin Peaks? Mm. If there is, we want to play that song the bar. That would be a good one.
Well, you shout him out in the podcast.
Yeah.
There we'll get the word out.
Yeah, get the word out.
Helen Hunt.
We'll get her. She'll play in the band. She'll play pedal steel. Helen Hunt on pedal steel.
Yeah, with a tornado behind her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, CGI. David Lynch could do that, like a little mini tornado.
A mini tornado.
Yeah, in a box with a key.
Wow.
Yeah.
Open up the box.
Let the tornado out, Helen.
Let the tornado out.
We're calling up David Lynch, M. Night Shyamalan. A lot of storied filmmakers here. Limp Bizkit. Maybe P.O.D.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
I think P.O.D.
P.O.D.
I think so.
P.O.D. for sure. Where are they?
I don't know.
They've got to do a reunion tour.
What does P.O.D.
I don't
stand
think they're
for?
Payable on death.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're religious.
Oh.
Those boys.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Those boys.
Those religious boys.
Those religious boys. Korn. I was just thinking like dreadlocks of the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got.
Adam Duritz?
Yeah, that's the other one. These are all white dreadlocks, which is not that cool.
Not the guy from P.O.D.'s.
Oh, really?
I think
something's going on.
Spanish, Hispanic, or something. Okay. Something's going on, yes. anyways.
Yeah. Lisa Bonet. Good dreadlocks.
Yeah, she's so cool. Honestly, she still is.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We covered it.
Yeah.
We got it.
On that note.
On that note. So that's it. That's the show. Thank you so much to Weaves for coming by. Again, Wide Open is the name of their new album. It came out in October on K9 Records. And they also have an older one before that. They have one other album. That one's self-titled, came out a couple years prior. And if you need a go-to track to get started with that one, Cuckoo is my favorite old cut from Weaves. So again, thanks to those... Thanks to Weaves for coming by. Glad we could make this episode happen. I caught their show after the talk you just heard. They were playing Rough Trade in Brooklyn that night. They're great. Jasmine has a really, really strong way of getting a crowd going, engaging an audience. They have a bunch of U.S. shows coming up in February, so you can still check them out. They're touring with Pale Hounds in the U.S. in February, so check out those dates. They're on their website. And next week on the podcast, Emo Week, we have a talk with Tom Mullen, good friend of mine, a fellow podcaster who runs the podcast / Twitter account / DJ Night Washed Up Emo, which is also now a book. And there's going to be several books for Washed Up Emo, but the first emo book is out now. And next week's episode on the podcast is me diving deep into state of emo in 2017. The artists that Tom interviewed for this book, a lot of seminal emo artists like Chris Caraba and Matt Pryor, the Promise Ring guys, Get Up Kid guys, a lot of good stuff from that world. We talked about the past, what's coming up, our favorite albums. So it's I think a good chance to hear me and a kindred spirit nerding out about this stuff. So that's in store for the Alternative Facts podcast. To make sure you get that next week, you can subscribe to the show. Search for # Alternative Facts, all one word. In iTunes, on the podcast app of your phone, wherever you get podcasts, and subscribe. Get next week's episode and next year's automatically. And also give me a follow on Twitter to get more up-to-date specific stuff. My
Handle is at CPayne on a plane, or CHRISPAYNE to just search for my name. I'm just always riffing on stuff that's coming up with the podcast and other things in my billboard world. And so, yeah, good way to get in touch. Drop a line about what you think about the show. So that's all I have for you guys. I'll see you next week. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.